The Battle of Alesia, Part 3, The End. This will end the war. It will end the Great Revolt. And other than the fact that Caesar's going to have, you're going to have some mopping up that's going to have to be done, Gaul will now be firmly in Roman hands. Okay, when we left off the last time, the Gauls had come up with a plan. They'd found the weakness in the Roman defenses, and they put everybody in place. And now the situation is it's time to attack and divert the attention of the Romans from this part of what they're planning to hit. Well, after careful planning, the Gauls sent their attack plan into action. In the morning, the relief army attacked, and Vercingetorix's forces attacked as well. Vercingetorix had seen what was going on, but he didn't actually have real communications with the other army. He's operating strictly on what he can see. So the Romans were attacked on both the inner and the outer ring. And then, as planned, at noon, midday, Vercingetorix's cousin, with his men, then came pouring over the hill down into the Roman camp. Now, at this time, the Romans were spread pretty thin, being hit in so many places at the same time. And Caesar, as usual, was going from position to position, calmly ordering up reserves and reinforcements in various threatened areas. And of course, remember, the troops knew that if Caesar was in their area, it was a tough position. And that kind of, you know, some people might think that, oh no, we're in really trouble. What are we going to do? Caesar shows up, and this is, you know, it's almost like, you know, he's bringing 10 cohorts with just his own personality. He really bucks those people up. Well, as the Gauls were making headway at the camp, Caesar at first responds by sending Labienus with 6 cohorts to the area and, you know, do what he thought needed to be done. Caesar now went to the men, encouraging them, telling them that the war was going to be decided today. Vercingetorix's men had been pushed by their feet from their first attack, which was against the weak section of the inner walls, and now he went after stronger positions and those on the hill slope areas where the Romans had less defenders. Trouble is, there's a reason why there are less defenders. It's a hill slope. One rampart was actually climbed, and a Roman tower was turned over. Caesar then calmly sent Decimus Brutus to the area with some troops, and with Caius Fabius following with reinforcing cohorts. Caesar gathered up 4 cohorts and headed off to see how Labienus was doing. Caesar had yet to use any of his cavalry. So now he splits the cavalry into 2 groups. One half of the cavalry went with Caesar. The other half was sent outside the walls to ride around and attack Vercingetorix's cousin from the rear. Meanwhile, Labienus lost control of the camp rampart. So Labienus is doing the best he can, but he's in a little bit of a trouble. However, Labienus was able to form a battle line inside the camp using a nearby fort as his line anchor. Although dispatched with 6 cohorts, Labienus was able to find another 14 along the way, along with 2 more, along with the 2 legions in the camp. It's interesting how he has 6 cohorts, and as he's heading that way, he says, "Oh, there's a cohort. What are you doing? Nothing? Yeah, you come with me." So he's got 20 cohorts, so he's bringing almost 2 legions with him. And of course, by this time, he's pretty much stabilized the position. And of course, about the time the position is stabilized from Vercingetorix's cousin's attack, Caesar shows up. And then, at the same time, he sends his cavalry that was with him forward, and the other half of the cavalry now comes up over the hill from behind the Gauls. And they're just slaughtered. The Gauls are just torn to pieces. Now, Vercingetorix's men, in their part of the fighting, also failed and then withdrew the minute they saw that the relief army was now beginning to collapse. And by sunset, it was pretty much over. Everybody had been pretty much decimated, or the Gauls had been decimated. The next day, Vercingetorix called his chiefs to a council and suggested that they surrendered and that he would give himself up to Caesar. Interestingly enough, according to the accounts, no one offered another opinion. So everybody was agreed, yeah, we better surrender, and we better make sure Vercingetorix is handed over to Caesar. Otherwise, the rest of us could be in trouble. So envoys were sent to Caesar. Well, the Roman counterproposal, their demands were very simple. Surrender their leaders, the Gauls' leaders, including Vercingetorix, and give up their weapons. Well, we have a couple of versions of Vercingetorix's surrender. I would say there's a Gallic version and then there's a Roman version here. Version number one. Vercingetorix put on his best armor and rode out of Alesia on his best war horse. He rode down to Caesar, who was sitting in his magistrate's chair in the camp. Vercingetorix first rode around Caesar in his position, then dismounted, laid down his weapons, and then sat at Caesar's feet. Now, this is an account that comes from Plutarch and Diodorus. Version number two is Caesar's. And I kind of like Caesar's. It's the same thing up to the point of Vercingetorix riding up to Caesar. I mean, he's not going to come down in his less armor. He's going to come down in his best looking stuff. He's going to come down on his best horse. That's to be understood. But instead of riding around Caesar, Vercingetorix stops and surrenders while he's on his horse, standing directly in front of Caesar. Well, Caesar's seated in his magistrate's chair, then motions to a Roman soldier, who then takes the reins of the horse, twists them, and causes the horse and the rider to fall to the ground. Caesar then supposedly said that that was a much better position from which to surrender from. Would have a much better account. Vercingetorix and possibly his wife were held captive until after Caesar's official triumph, and then strangled to death, which is what had always been the Roman custom. Well, what about everybody else? What about the other tribes? Well, almost all of the rebelling tribes surrendered. But we've been through this before. Every time he campaigns, they surrender. The Romans go away. They go crazy. They have to come back. We go all over and do it again. Caesar was generous. He did not sell the Aedui or the Arverni, as well as any of the tribes that were dependents of those two tribes, into slavery. But the other captives were sold and loot was gathered. But Caesar needed an enduring peace. The Aedui and the Arverni offered the best chance of a political settlement, which indeed worked for at least these two powerful tribes. But there was still some mopping up that was going to need to be done by Caesar after this. So that's the end of the fighting. Now we have just a little mopping up action. Now, as far as sources for this, Conquest of Gaul by Caesar, various accounts of Caesar by Plutarch and Diodorus Siculus, which I've got this huge collection of these from the Leb Historians Ancient Book Library, and the Caesar Life of a Colossus by Goldsworthy, and Julius Caesar Life and Times of the People's Dictator by Kim Fora. I would mention that the Loeb, L-O-E-B, I believe is how it's spelled, library of these classic works, they're really neat because they're, at least the ones I have, they're translated in English on one side of the book, on one page, and the other side has the original language. So if you're studying and you're learning the language, you can read it one way, or you can read the other. And I used to love to take these into the into the teacher's lounge and sit there and read up on some material. Of course, I would sit in a way that the teacher that I was wanting to mess with could only see the Latin or Greek or whatever it was that was in the book. And of course, I'm reading the English. And of course, everybody for a long time thought I could read Latin. I can read some Latin, but I could read Greek and some of these other languages. Only a few people knew I was just messing with them. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and thank you very much.